Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Jantz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution, creators of the most powerful marketing and communication software built specifically to meet the needs of insurance agencies and brokerages. If you believe that the relationship you have with your clients is the heart of your business, and I suspect you do, then you need to see how Agency Revolution can make those relationships deeper, stronger, and longer. Visit agencyrevolution.com, receive a free demonstration of our award-winning software today. I am going to keep this introduction really short. I always love it when I have the opportunity to record the introduction right after the podcast because I'm usually super pumped up. And I'm very excited about this conversation with Christopher Cook, the founder and principal of Alliance Services. I have interviewed one of his team members a few months ago, John Jackson, and you'll hear us talk about that unique relationship. And so here's why you want to listen to this conversation. This is an agency that had 34% top-line organic growth last year, and you're about to find out why. So without further ado, it is a great pleasure and privilege to introduce you to Christopher Cook. Christopher, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, Michael. Thank you so much for giving me a call. Good to join you.
Well, I'm pleased, and I want to give a little heads up to the audience on why we're having this conversation right now. Number one, it started when Agency Revolution's chief of product, chief engineer on the Agency Revolution side of the business, he had a conversation with you, and frankly, he was impressed with your use of the technology and your understanding of what a power user can do. And then you and I talked, and it was quite obvious you had something to share. Now, I also had an interview with your marketer, and that was an outstanding podcast. I got a lot of great feedback on that. And so I thought, oh, this is terrific. Now I get to talk to the agency principal, sharing your perspective. And of course, when you said, it was a pretty good year. We had 34% top line growth. I thought, okay, this is a story that we need to share. Make sense?
Well, yeah, it does. It was an amazing opportunity to meet Lucas and talk with him. And, certainly, 2018 was an amazing year for our agency, and I look forward to the conversation.
Okay, so before we get into here's kind of how I want to break this conversation down. I want to get your background story and how you got to be where you are now. But then I thought it would be useful to do why and then how. In other words, why are you doing things differently, perhaps, than you were shown or, than the industry has practiced previously? And, of course, there's some things that you're doing the same that you're holding on to. And then how do you get that 34% top line organic growth? So let's start with Christopher and your story and the story of Alliance Insurance Services.
Sure. I may get a little long-winded, so if I feel like I'm veering off path, grab me and let's get back in the right lane. my insurance story goes back to as a young child. I grew up in an insurance family. My mother is a career life insurance agent, and that's what she did as my brother and I grew up. When I graduated from college in 2000, I went to work, had a good job. It was a very demanding job. I was very satisfied, very well compensated. but I was probably working an average of 100 hours a week.
Ouch.
It was a grind, if you will. And I had fallen in love with who is now my wife, and my mom looked at me one day and said, "Son, there's no way she's going to marry you if you're going to continue to work 100 hours a week." So we started the conversation of getting into the insurance business, and my mother worked for a company. She wasn't an agency
right.
owner.
Okay.
She was a salesperson, a producer. That's what she liked to do. The years in her life that she was in management roles, she hated. She just wanted to sell.
She liked to sell.
With people.
Yeah.
That's what she likes to do today. Even though she's retired, she would rather sell. So I joined my mother at that company, at that life insurance company, and did life insurance for a few years. Had this great marketing idea that I was going to go into the local property and casualty agency in the town my wife and I were living in.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
tell them that I wanted to be their life resource.
You wanted to work their book of business?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
The owner of that agency said, "Hey, young man, you need to come and join us, and I'll sell you a franchise, and you can run this franchise for me, and it'll cost you, at that point in time, was $200,000 a year, amortized over 30 years, and he's been very successful with that model. There's lots of folks that have done it, but
very interesting. Now, you don't have to name names. Is that a state-based franchise model? Is that in your state?
It is based here in my state, in North Carolina.
Okay, got it.
And like I said, they've had success, and there's still agents who do very well in their model, and they certainly help their folks out.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't for me, but I learned enough from him, and I'm grateful to him because I learned enough from him that I thought, yeah, you know what, I do need to own a PNC agency. And so for a little over a year, I went home, told my wife, "We're going to open a PNC agency," and she said, "Whatever you want to do, I trust you. I'll support you and everything." And I'm thankful for that relationship. Obviously, we've both tried to do our best to help each other along the way. And so for about a year, I talked to different carriers, captive carriers. I talked to independent agents. I talked to adjusters. I just did a lot of research, counted it up. It was a little over 100 folks I talked to. And
wow.
In June of 2014, we finally opened a PNC agency. Really, it was an auto insurance shop. And anyone that I could sell insurance to, if they could fog a mirror, then they were customers.
Yeah.
So I had some great customers, and I had some what the industry calls non-standard clients then.
Fair enough.
Still have some of those folks. They put food on the table for my family for many years. But over time, we've evolved into an agency that might be a dirty word in the industry, but we're a generalist agency, a hybrid agency, if you will. We are 50% personal lines, 25% life and health, 25% commercial. Been named as a best practices agency for the last 6 years, which is something we're all very, very proud of.
Very good. Uh-huh.
Multiple locations. We just opened our fourth office in January of this year. So that's been part of what we've done. So this is my third scratch agency. I keep saying every time I'm never going to do another scratch agency.
So these branches that you're opening up are not acquisitions. They're scratch?
Right. We did one acquisition in 2011, and the main driving force behind that acquisition was to get a contract with Auto Owners, carrier that
Fair enough.
Became our number one carrier
right.
agency. But the other locations, we'll talk a little bit more later about how I met John Jackson, but the location I am in and that John started working with us in was a scratch agency, and this newest location was a scratch agency, and when I got started, it was a scratch agency.
Got it. All right. So so real quick summary, the agency itself is how old? How many years?
14 years. Be 15 in June.
Okay. And four locations. How many people are working in the agency now?
15.
Okay. Scratch agency. Not bad. Now, you had said that last year, amazing year, 34% growth. And the thing I wanted to stress about that is that's organic growth. That's not acquisitions.
That's right. We did not do an acquisition last year or have an acquisition that attributed to that. That's correct.
Okay. So I can't help but think, Christopher, that you looked at the industry, maybe you looked at consumer behavior, somehow you scanned the environment and you decided that there was, that let's say you weren't going to run it the way perhaps, others were running agencies and maybe running them successfully since the 70s, 80s, or 90s, right? You decided that you were going to emphasize some differences. Yes?
Yes, for sure. I certainly wouldn't call me a bleeding edge kind of person. If anything,
okay.
I'm an old school,
okay.
Nose to the grindstone kind of guy. But I firmly believe that you have to be doing the things that your clients ask you to do. And the client of today is not the client of the 70s, 80s, or 90s. And if we're going to grow, we've got to be doing what the clients of today in 2020 and 2030 want us to be doing. So that certainly has contributed to our growth.
What do you think is the difference between the clients of today and the clients of the 80s?
You know, I think most of us say this over and over again, or at least have heard it over and over again. A customer, for example, you know, going to a different industry, a customer, myself, can go on my phone, pull up my Lyft app, and know what time the driver's going to be there.
Right.
We have an expectation of immediacy and accuracy and professionalism. And certainly in the 80s and 90s, customers expected professionalism, but they were okay if it took you a day or two or more to get them an answer to their question or to provide a proposal or whatever it may be. And they were okay. To a degree, okay, if you made a mistake, especially
uh-huh.
where I was raised, you say, you know, I'm sorry, I'll fix it, I'm a man of my word, and you move on with life. But I don't think those are the same expectations of today or tomorrow's client.
Okay, so let's talk about the how. Let's kind of dig into this, and I'll start with this question. Oh, a year and a half or so ago, and my timing might be off slightly on this, but in my last interview with Safeco's executive team, member of the executive team, they'd indicated that according to their survey, I think at that point, 56% of agencies had marketers. And now the definition of marketers could be pretty soft and squishy, but at least they had somebody was like maybe, you know, posting on social media and like paying attention to it. And it was their job. It's their responsibility. You know, because I interviewed with John Jackson, and this is how I first got to know your agency. You have a full-time marketer, and John's skill set is up the ladder. You know, he's not just like posting, Happy Valentine's Day today, right? He's doing some
exactly.
more sophisticated things. So my first question is, what inspired you to have a full-time marketer? Because I suspect that if you looked around at a lot of your competitors and peers locally, that's not the case. They don't have that. But you made a fairly considerable investment in it. What was your thinking?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I think part of it is I try my best to listen to what is going on in the industry. And sometimes I'm a late adopter, but I'm certainly not the last. And so for, say, 3-4 years ago, we were posting on social, but it was a whole lot of Happy Valentine's Day.
It was last fall. It's a very short story, and I'm interrupting you. It was like I jumped back on social media after about a year and a half break after I sold the business, and it was fall. It was like Halloween was right around the corner. It was like, and I was on my Instagram account, and I thought, seriously, if I see one more agent just posting Happy Halloween, I'm just going to croak, because it was like, can't we deliver content that people really genuinely care about? So. So you made that jump, and I'm not saying Happy Halloween is bad, but you know the difference between that and meaningful and delightful content is pretty significant. So you were doing that stuff, And then
we
boom.
Were doing that stuff, and then we were engaging with what our carriers were giving us, because our carriers, you know, to my knowledge, had studied this, and they thought, you know, they had it figured out, and they were providing a whole lot of Happy Halloween, and you know, with Veterans Day and stuff like that. And you know, along came into our lives John Jackson and an opportunity to work together. And John was working in our what at that point in time was our third agency. Second scratch location, and he was helping me build an agency here in the town that I work in primarily right now, which is in the county I grew up in. John and I both grew up here, and it's a rural farming type community, but nonetheless, John looked at me one day and says, dude, people really don't want to see that crap. I mean, they want original stuff. You know, the worst mistake you can make is point out a problem, because then you get to be the one that solves it. So we started asking John to start solving some of those problems. Mm-hmm. And as our relationship evolved, John had an opportunity to move to Philadelphia, and that's something he and his wife wanted to do.
Right.
And it was what was best for his family. And I don't like to lose good people. John is a great person.
Uh-huh.
He's a great asset to our agency. And so we started talking about, well, are we going to open an office in Philadelphia? How does that look? Do we have markets? Do we have carriers that want to be in Philadelphia? Do we know anything about it? Or shouldn't we just use whatever John's best assets are? And that's one of my, you know, I think one of the things I do well is try my best to use your talents as a staff member to make
right.
this all better. And Josh's or John's talents are in marketing. He has a master's in film. He's a super smart guy. He's very creative. He gets it. He's intelligent, speaks intelligently, can communicate. And so in an effort to keep him, I offered John a job being our full-time marketing director, and he's taken it and ran and improved every day, and it's been a big part of our growth last year.
Okay, so I think important question that some people are probably, you know, asking is, was John a marketer before, like in the professional sense, like, you know, that he had
he was,
no, got it.
No.
Okay. And so, boom, off to Philadelphia, go learn marketing, kind of like that?
Pretty much. here's
right.
some resources, you know, any of our carriers that will support you, you know, any here's, you know,
yes.
here's where you go do the research, but he's done a lot of this on his own.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, you know, as anybody could tell from the interview that I did with John, I'm quite impressed with him and his capabilities. So, let's start with like that position, Christopher.
Yeah.
So honest, you know, question for you. Do you consider yourself a marketer?
I understand that an agency my size with an aspiration of growth has to market. I consider myself personally, my strengths to be in relationship and building relationships.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little bit too much aw shucks or too much humble to place myself in the camera too often. And I get a little squeamish about posting things about myself because I feel like it's bragging. And
I get
I know
it.
It's not.
Right,
that's just
right.
the feelings that enter my mind.
Okay, no, so I get that. So one of the reasons I'm asking is because I assume you supervise John.
Yes.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit about that, like how that goes, because, you know, you're supervising somebody. Not only are they, you know, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but I think you said you may not see him this entire year, except that you have a weekly meeting with him, and we'll get into that. How are you with like managing a position, one, you know, that is one, an emerging position that's gaining definition and maturity in the industry, and two, it's probably, you know, like you're not trained as a marketer. How what have you learned about that? I think that's a really critical question for people.
Sure. You know, you have to have results to be successful in a position.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's true no matter the industry or the position. To measure those results, you got to set some, I guess most people would call them key indicators or key performance indicators.
Right.
So we picked three or four things, retention being the most important one of those, in our agency that we were going to measure. And those are the things we talk about on a weekly basis. Obviously, our meetings are made up of more than just those three or four KPIs.
Right.
But those are the things we measure, and provided they are growing, then we're going to have a full-time marketer, and I hope that's
right.
always
okay.
Back.
All right. So, boom. Let's talk about retention. What kind of activities did you or the agency or John engage in that had a positive impact on your retention?
You know, Michael, John's position in large part had a lot to do with our decision as an agency to go to Agency Revolution.
Fair enough.
Certainly not trying to put you in a bad spot there, but it's been a key component of our success.
Well, it's not putting me in a bad spot.
Well, that's true, but a guy like me gets I blush a little bit when people say something good about me, so I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, I do too, but I'm willing to suffer through that.
But, Agency Revolution, we wanted to be, I guess, what you would define as a power user.
Yeah.
If I invest in something, I want to get as much out of that as I can. And oftentimes my folks will say, I don't mind spending $1,000 if we're going to get $2,000 in return, but I don't want to spend a dollar and get 50 cents back.
Fair enough.
As we chose to make the investment in Agency Revolution, I asked John to learn that and learn it wholeheartedly in and build it out. And mm-hmm. So he spent a lot of time doing that, and that was before I, officially handed this digital marketing role to him.
Uh-huh.
But that was a big investment, and as he has been in the full-time role, he has continued to improve what we do with Agency Revolution, and he's continued to push forward, with that team to say, hey, we'd like for it to do this, or can it do that, or can we think about this?
I think what impressed Luke was he's figuring out how far you actually can push technologies.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, John is.
He is, and, Agency Revolution integrates with HawkSoft, which is our agency management system.
But right.
Neither one of them yet. Can you or work with Zapier or send zaps?
Okay,
or
fair enough. Yeah, okay.
Webhook,
right?
Stuff I don't really know that much about. I just know the words exist. And so that was part of mine and Lucas's conversation was, hey, could we create zaps out of Agency Revolution to trigger other activities that maybe AR doesn't want to build out, but they could essentially cause the activity to happen.
Uh-huh. And Luke said...
Yeah, we're going to look at that.
Okay, it's on the roadmap. All right. So retention
those types of things grew our Agency Revolution has done a good job building our retention.
Okay, and retention is up, and now are you doing anything like unusual? Because obviously the tool itself comes. Pre-loaded with a lot of content. Is John creating original content as well?
He is as well, yeah.
Okay.
Something that we've had a lot of success with is a video marketing campaign that goes to all our clients.
Aha, uh-huh.
John's
yeah.
just repurposing videos that he's already shot, and we have a monthly video email that goes to all our clients, and they open the email a lot. They watch the video a lot. We feel like those types of things help grow retention.
Off the top of your head, Christopher, do you know what your open rate is on your on the emails?
It's over 33%.
Okay,
almost 50% on
okay.
that video.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. That's very, very good. So this monthly video series, who is the face on the video? Is it you or somebody else?
More often than not, it's John.
Okay, and what's the nature of the content that he's communicating in the video?
Typically informational, what does this type of policy do,
mm-hmm.
What does this commonly used term actually mean, why might you have a certain type of policy, an umbrella policy or a flood policy,
okay.
of that nature.
And so I know that, obviously there's some things that are easy to measure like open rate. Some things are a little more difficult to measure, like from that video, how many sales did we make? And maybe you are able to track that. Anecdotally, what kind of comments have you noticed clients bringing to you, bringing to the agency? Because I presume there's a little bit of a before and after, like, gosh, you didn't used to communicate with us this much. Gosh, now you're communicating with us a lot and there's value. What are people saying to you?
Sure. I can't, back to your earlier statement, I can't tell you which video brought me
number
of policies, and I don't care.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the wrong opinion because I know some people measure everything, but I look at it more holistically than that. But, you know, just last night I went to watch my nephew play high school basketball, and as I was leaving, a high school classmate of mine said, "Hey, I liked your most recent video." So you don't know that folks are watching those things, but they are, and she happens to be a customer, so I know she's getting content. Some of our largest customers, I ask, you know, "Hey, how do you feel about that?" And, you know, "Hey, man, I think it's great." And they're honest. I don't always open them. I don't always watch them. But when I get a chance, it provides value. And that's, you know, you're not sending me hokey stuff. And so they appreciate it from what I can tell.
Yeah. Okay. So, John, as marketer, has been in that position roughly for how long?
Not quite 2 years.
Okay. And so, at least in this past year, you've seen a significant uptick in your client retention.
3%.
Okay. I'd be happy to run the numbers for you. If we, you know, that 3% over the next 10 years is worth,
quite valuable.
It's very, very valuable, right?
What's that spreadsheet you've got?
Yes. Okay. Now I'm going to get a lot of requests for it, which is fine. And I'm happy to share it. It's the Easy Million spreadsheet. Happy to share the Easy Million spreadsheet. Okay.
I've used it, and it's insightful. So I hope your inbox doesn't get flooded.
But I hope it does. Look, the good news is Michael is fleshing his team out too. So I've got somebody who can take care of it. It's not that she doesn't have other things to do, but it is valuable. So if anybody wants it, fine. And everybody who asked for copies of stuff I offered a week or two ago, it's coming. I promise. All right. So. Honestly, moving forward, the goal is to have landing pages for all this stuff, but I've got a lot on my plate. So retention up, and then now, so obviously that isn't getting us the 34% growth. So I'm going to assume that policy per customer count is up and revenue per customer count is up. Is that an accurate assessment?
Very, very accurate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And so the agency, so like when you and John are meeting, are you designing like a marketing calendar? Do you have a sense like in this year, we're going to cross sell these groups this many times?
So John's very much better at that than I am.
Fair enough. Okay.
I'm going to give you some ideas.
Uh-huh.
I expect you to run with it kind of guy. You and I talked about how hard we work and how hard we've worked to build our businesses over time. And I'm a, you know, get up, get out, get after it kind of person, and I expect my coworkers to be the same. So I don't review John's calendar. John
Got
has
it.
A calendar.
He has one.
I trust that he's doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. And so, you know, I mean, generally, when I look at making money in this industry, there are three ways to do it organically, right? Get more customers, get more revenue per customer, keep your clients longer. Boom. That's, you know, about it. We can certainly break it down. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Now, from that, we look for leverage points within it. Like, where can we go within each of those three areas to, you know, pump them up a little more using a nice 80-20 principle? So, obviously, you've had some growth in new customers. What are you doing there?
New customer acquisition, really, you know, this may sound a little hokey, but we're just asking for referrals.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Simple, long-standing, long-working principle.
Yeah, okay, so asking referrals, do you have what we would generally call a referral program? In other words, you know, like a gift or something. Yeah, okay.
yeah, we have a referral program. You know, we ask for referrals at different times.
Uh-huh.
We ask for referrals in different methods, you know, via Agency Revolution,
right.
via text, via, we actually send a few pieces of direct mail on an annual basis. to our current customers, not to folks we don't know yet. But, but yeah, we ask for that in a varied number of ways as part of our communication with our clients.
Outstanding. I know that you said that you're a generalist, but within that generalist agency, are there specialties? Are there niches?
There are. You know, our producers focus more on their specialties than the agency does as a whole.
Right.
We have one producer who is Vietnamese, and a lot of his clientele are as well. And that, you know, I consider that to be a niche within his community.
Right.
We have a young lady who focuses on individual health insurance and does a heck of a job helping our clients understand that marketplace and has quite a sizable book of business. We have a producer who is more of a generalist but does very well in auto service space. And then we have a producer who focuses on a specific type of trade contractor, and he does well in that space. Obviously sell some other things, but our agency, the producers within our agency do have focus points.
All right. So let me dig into that for a moment. Let's, for example, take you've got somebody in the construction trades, a producer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Does John, as marketer, does he work with that producer? Does he segment or sub-segment the book of business to communicate only with them from time to time? At this point in time, is John drilling down to that level of detail?
Sure. The focus there has been, we've got some work to do in that area, but where we saw some successes there was in getting our producers involved in the social space.
Uh-huh.
Within the
business. Yeah.
And so that we, John worked to coach them through, hey, here's how you maybe help build a group, or here's how you interact with them. You know, you certainly can't be going in trying to sell people. You provide value, and if and when they need you, they'll reach out to you. And so that's really where we've had more success in those niches and segmenting out that book. That hopefully will happen in 2019.
Got it. All right. Now, I know that you've made some commitments to other technologies as well, right?
Yes, we have. I'm counting this list of
okay.
15 things we use here.
All right. So, give us a sense of some of the technologies that you've made a commitment to, and then I'll drill down on a couple of them.
Sure. So, obviously we mentioned Agency Revolution and how we feel about that. We use Zoom to communicate in inter-office communications.
Right. Yeah, for people who aren't aware of it, Zoom is the service that I use as well right now, and there are several of them available, but that's the one I found most reliable. It's a video conferencing service.
Yep, very good. Works all the time. You can do large groups. You can do two or three people.
Right.
Most of my weekly meetings with my staff are because I'm in one spot and they're in other spots.
Right. So do you also use Zoom to communicate with other remote workers or people who are in distant locations?
Yeah, we have a staff member that's in Florida. And then all the other locations we have. And every person in our agency is logged into Zoom, and we have a group chat. We have multiple group chats,
right.
Actually. People who only do commercial insurance are in a group chat. People who do health insurance are in a group chat.
What platform do you use for the chat?
Zoom has a chat platform.
Okay, got it. Using Zooms. Alrighty. So, Agency Revolution Zoom, I interrupted you there. What other technologies?
Our website is by Advisor Evolved, and Chris builds a beautiful website, but the thing that attracts me the most, and I think other users, Chris Langille at Advisor Evolve, would hone in on different points of his, but we use the quote video feature. And so every proposal we send out on the personal line side and the life and health side, most of our commercial proposals are hand-delivered old-fashioned way.
Right.
But on those personal lines quotes, we're sending a quote video, which is us talking to our clients. with a PDF pulled up and a video of us at the same time explaining to them what we are proposing.
Got it.
We've seen great success with that. We text our customers via our phone system, which is Lightspeed Voice. And texting has certainly had some improvement in our client communication.
Okay, quick question about the texting. When you text, is that one-to-one texting? Okay, not one to group texting.
Yeah, we don't do mass texting.
Fair enough. Right.
We have that capability, but that's not something we are using yet, mainly because we haven't created a good acceptance form for customers to give us a permission to.
Yeah, and I think
I need to figure that out.
Right, and I think a lot of marketers would say that's a really intimate technology. You know, when somebody's phone vibrates and they have to pull it out of the pocket, and there's a message from the insurance agent, it better deliver value, right?
Yeah,
or it's
exactly.
In your and I remember maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago, literally sitting around the Christmas tree opening presents with my family, and the phone vibrates in my pocket, and it was an insurance agent who just had me on his list. He was in a whole different state, right? And it was like, oh my God, don't do that. Valentine's Day, it was like, oh, you know, if you bought your wife a diamond ring or something, you know, be sure to call me. He's like, oh, don't do that, please. So
I don't want to be doing that.
You don't want to be that guy. All right. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. No, I happen to still see that agent on social media, like save money, save money, save money. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, maybe there are some upticks there, but that's no way to scale. All right. So texting, other communication technologies that you're using?
Yeah, we use eSign. I hope all your agencies are using eSign. And I was pushing on Lucas about Zapier's. I'd like to introduce voicemail drops, which would be similar to the texting we talked about. They would be specific, and they would have a purpose. They wouldn't be a mass kind of random message. It would be, you know, Michael, I need to get in touch with you. Please call me back. I've got your quote ready, or you know, there's a problem with your policy or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully there's a lot of these that are common in the industry. I don't know if they are, but you know, we use a calendar tool. We use Calendly.
No, I saw that. Yeah, that's on your email, right?
Yeah, and that's new to me. My staff had to push me to that point, but it's a good technology, and I needed to be.
It is the tool I use, and I don't think I'm using it on my email right now because I don't want to make myself quite that available. But in your case, yeah, that's are people periodically using that and setting up appointments with you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Okay.
Certainly do.
Got it.
You know, that for the most part, I think that covers what we're doing. We've got some communication, automated social communication that allows John to deliver the content he wants.
Oh, okay.
Content.
Right. A social poster of some kind. There's several of them available. All right. So...
video is a big thing, big piece of what John is doing, and
right.
He can get a little more into some of that technology. He posted a video of me yesterday, and with my Southern drawl, there's a dictation app trying to tell you what I'm saying in the video, and it's quite hilarious.
I hadn't realized you had a Southern drawl. You'll have to pull it out for me sometime.
I'll try.
Okay. All right. So when you... You know, you're at an age where you've got some years where this matters to you.
Yeah.
The agency and the future of the agency matters to you. And we're living in a time and working in a time where there's obviously a great deal of turbulence and, you know, for some people, a lot of uncertainty about where the industry's going, and I think for a lot of people, some confusion about, oh gosh, what should I do? You know, what do I do first? You know, because there's so many shiny objects out there that are attractive and not necessarily the best choices. Where do you see, you know, given this sort of unusual environment that we're living in right now, a fast-paced business environment with lots of change in everything from new competitors to consumer behavior. What do you think what does the future look like? What do you see the future of the industry looks like for people like you running insurance agencies?
For people like myself who are of a growth mindset, hopefully of an abundance mindset, the future is going to lie in the data that we have and better understanding that data. And I'll give you an example. It's a little bit far-fetched, mm-hmm. but we've talked about retention. We've talked about policy count per client growth. Mm-hmm. The technology exists in other industries, and to a degree, a very, very small degree, but to a degree in our industry,
right.
to look at a client, and I'm going to call the client Michael, mm-hmm. and have a staff member say, all right, Michael's been with us 3 years. He has an automobile policy with us. All we know about Michael is his home phone number. And his mailing address. That, you know what, Michael's probably not going to be with us next year. If we get Michael's email address today and maybe even his cell phone number, his longevity in our office is going to extend 6 months.
Okay.
If yeah. we get a homeowner's policy for him, his longevity in our policy is going to extend 4 years.
Uh-huh.
If we could find out what his Twitter handle is or what social media platform he likes, his longevity in our office extends another 8 months. That data exists, and there's people using that data today. We're not doing it very well, if hardly at all, in the insurance space.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the future, because the data can tell you more about your customer than you can ever know intuitively.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to wind it up here, but that's such an intriguing perspective, and certainly not the first I've heard that. Greg Williams made a very key point about that in my interview with Greg. So are you beginning to learn things? Because you're looking at more data now, probably, than you were before. I know John is, okay? There's a lot of data in Hawksoft, and candidly, you know, the way the agency revolution technology was built, it does give you kind of a micro view on a lot of data. What are you learning about your book of business and customers that maybe you didn't know before?
You know, I've heard you mention this before, but I think a lot of agency owners, due to either limitations, whether that be on time or systems or
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
kind of think they know what their retention is.
Okay, don't get me started. Don't get me upset. Okay.
Yeah, you need a system that accurately reports that.
Yeah.
You know, similarly to John's role in our agency, you kind of think you know what videos work because your mom said that was a really good one. Or your boss said, oh, I hated that one or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But when you dig into the information and you see how many clicks did you get, how long did they watch it, how many people came back and watched it again? Did they go to another landing page? Did they go to another place in your agency? You know, the information's out there. I was amazed at how much information. John shows me 15 to 20 minutes worth of probably 30 screens of data he looks at every morning once a week.
Uh-huh.
There's a ton of information
right.
out there that really tells you how you're doing. And the data is crucial.
Got it. All righty. Last question. I'll let you answer it any way you want. it can be a billboard or maybe a short essay. So you've got a lot of peers in the industry that are listening to this podcast. What do you want to say to them? I mean, obviously, you know, most agencies, regardless of size, would love to say, gosh, I'd love to have a 34% top line growth this year. What would you say to them?
Can I get two billboards?
Yeah, two billboards. Okay. Yeah, we could do like Burma shave signs.
One billboard would definitely say, get up, get out, and get after it. And that's a saying they have at USLI, so I'll admit that I'm stealing that.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
And the other would say, understand the data.
Got it. That's all I need. You've been very generous, Christopher. I think the last thing I'm going to do is say, hey, let's give everybody your email or phone number, because you have an agency to run and you got a family to take care of. But if people wanted to, like, you know, maybe see what you were up to, visit your site or whatever, you tell me.
Sure.
What do you want to say?
Yeah, I'm an open book because so many people have helped me in this industry, so I have no problem helping someone else. My website address, our website address is myallianceinsurance.com, so very long. I apologize in advance. My email address is longer. It's christopher@myallianceinsurance.com. I'm on all the social, or the majority of the social sites out there. If you want to reach out to me that way, whatever people are comfortable with, I'll do my best to help you in any way I can.
Okay. That is generous of you. I'm going to say one last thing that obviously anybody who's listening to us now has listened to this much of the podcast. So you've heard from Christopher. I think it might be extremely useful to dig up from the archives the interview that I did with John Jackson, and you'll kind of get a dual perspective on how this team works together. Again, Christopher, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and your insights and your wisdom.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you a lot.
Been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.